Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
Always doing a great job is my old friend Neil Riddell. Sir, welcome back. It's great to hear you on the other end again.
Hey, Steve. Thank you. You as well.
Thanks. Appreciate that. All right, so they're 8-2. They've won back-to-back games. What do you think of this football team so far?
Well, I think it's improving, particularly on defense and up front. I mean, I'm encouraged because I think the up front ability to run the ball when they want to, and, you know, I think their offensive line has come together. Their running backs are obviously really good, the two freshmen. And I think there were times when, you know, they'd have a midseason disappointment that they wouldn't recover as well. I think they've shown resiliency, more improved resiliency this year. Now, at times when they have, say, let Ohio State beat them twice, it's been, I would say, with all due respect to a better opponent than they've bounced back with. I thought Indiana and Maryland just didn't offer that much resistance. Maryland really seems to get discouraged against Penn State when they get down. So, we'll see what happens this week. Rutgers usually plays, you know, with a lot of tenacity, and Michigan mm-hmm. State is capable. But I really think that how it'll define this season will be how they do in a bowl game, because I think they'll get another really good opponent.
All right. Normally, I don't care what the weather conditions are or even sometimes where you're playing. If you have a running game and a defense, that can overcome some of that, especially in conditions like Saturday. What have you seen in those two areas in particular that can be difference makers regardless of situation or location?
Well, I think they're showing they have a lot of depth on defense. The sack numbers are really up, and they've won the battle up front, which has been good to see. I mean, 13 sacks in the last two games, and you're seeing at all levels how you saw against Ohio State how these edge rushers are really becoming primary positions. So I think that's, one area, and I think they've, Manny Diaz has been a great hire, and, even without Joey Porter, when they were locked in man-to-man coverage, they seemed to hold up, I think, pretty well when Tagovailoa had time. The running game, with Juice Scruggs and Brenton Strange, I love the way they're using their tight ends. As kind of fullbacks, and I think they've shown depth on the offensive line, but particularly the leadership, I think, by Juice, and these guys are able to really been impressive the way they've been able to run the ball.
When you sat there and or stood there, whatever the situation may be,
I have to watch it, Steve.
But you've had a chance to listen to Sean Clifford, and we know what the reaction in the stadium has been when they do the starting lineup and he's introduced. It's been mixed. How do you think he's handled all that?
I think he's handled it very professionally. I think I was uncomfortable when he was, I guess that was the Minnesota game, when he was booed in the pregame. But I think that's been tempered, and I'm glad to see that you haven't heard as much of that. But I think he's been great with the media and his obligations, and definitely has been a real leader. And let's face it, I mean, familiarity tends to breed content no matter how what aspect of life at times. But he's handled that, very, very well. And he's had some bad breaks at times, but at other times he hasn't played as well as you'd think that he can play. But he's, certainly had a ton of sample size. I don't know, Steve, up about a month ago, I saw Justin Fields in the pocket for the Bears and couldn't believe how it looked like he had regressed. And I said, I think Clifford could be in better than he is in the pocket now, ever since I thought that Fields has turned it around.
Yeah, but, Fields has been great, yeah.
You know, I don't know. I just think that they're, you know, you're measured kind of on the biggest games, and unfortunately they've fallen short in those sometimes.
So we're now, I think, in 8 of the 10 games. I think Drew's played in 8. And they, you know, they're you know, there's a couple series here or there versus maybe a quarter and a half in Indiana and so forth. What do you thought of Drew Aller to this point?
I want to see more. I think what we've seen of him, he looks like he has a strong arm and poise, and he put it down and ran for 12 yards the other day. Looks like he's a leader with pretty good touch. Just need to see, you know, more. I've just been a little disappointed with how that has shaken out. And I did not think that Aller should start against Ohio State, because I thought Clifford gave them the best chance to win. But I just feel there have been some missed opportunities. He's really only played when Sean's been hurt or the game has been totally clinched. And I think the way the defense was playing at Indiana and Maryland, the Penn State, those games were comfortable. I would like to have seen him be brought into certain situations, given his, you know, what role that we're all expecting him to play next year, and also the fact that Sean has now been there 6 years. And I just think that there maybe been probably about 6 to 8 series when the games have been, you know, maybe it's 24-3. Even the other day when it was 21-0, possibly put him in with 5 minutes to go in the second quarter, and even bring Sean back to start the second half. I just think some more spot series when the games have been, you know, more meaningful action.
A lot of guys have played, and of course they've rotated a lot of people in along the way. James Franklin, you know, with especially with this recruiting class, was trying to change the depth quotient of his football team. Based on what you've seen, have they taken that step?
Oh yeah, I mean they've played a lot of guys, absolutely. And you know the roster better than I do. But you know, hey, you had basically 2 true freshmen that would have been your players of the game, your Altoona Mirror players of the game anyway, Singleton and Abdul Carter last week. I mean, that's an indication of how many true freshmen have really made an impact. And also, I like the way the roster has been developed. And, you know, there hasn't been as much drop-off in certain spots. And really, even the line, look what Drew Shelton did last week. And it hasn't been a crisis when certain guys have been hurt. Yeah, they've done a good job. I think they've done a good coaching job, really. I mean, you're a couple plays away. You know, you get the unfortunate offensive pass interference call at Michigan. While you might be going in at that point to, you know, tie the game, and then, you know, you I would have punted there, but they didn't. And then the kid busts a big run and, yeah, you know, kind of lets the air out of you. And then certainly against Ohio State, you're right there with 5 minutes to go in the game. So, you know, hey, there's a lot that you can build on right now that they are building on and they could build on going forward, in my mind.
By the way, that offensive pass interference call that was made, that was actually the right call, so everybody understands that. I mean, I'm talking about the one on Warren. That actually was the right call because the ball was over the line of scrimmage. It had been behind, it's a legal play, but because the ball is beyond, it is a legal play. So,
right, but technically that wouldn't have been his fault, I don't think. Because
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. But no, it's not. It just turned out that it was just, I think it was by about a half yard, a yard. So I would just want to make sure everybody so knows the official. Give them a little props. They got it right along the way.
Yeah. Let me know when you have a window here, because I have a question for you.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Okay. What question you have?
With your memory, because I don't know that I've ever seen an official come to midfield and say there's an unsportsmanlike or conduct on the head, quote unquote, the head coach. And yeah. I don't know, A, is that a point of emphasis on sideline management, or if something was said, is there less tolerance? I cannot remember. I can remember
Never.
At Nebraska when it was a Penn State sideline infraction and they got one. Do you remember this, no. Steve? It was about 10 years ago.
And the sideline infraction, I think, was because an official was running down the sideline and ran into somebody. Right, and they already had a warrant. I think that was the reason why.
Okay, I didn't know whether somebody was whether they were not that Bill would ever protest
because Bill would never protest. No, no.
And Joe would flail at officials, and you wouldn't see necessarily that call. So that's what I'm asking you. A, is it taking place? Because I remember at Nebraska.
Nope.
We asked O'Brien, was it John Butler, who was pretty aggressive on the sideline? Yeah. And O'Brien said, no, it wasn't him. And but I just wondered if it had happened before or a point of emphasis to you.
Had not, and I don't think it's a point of emphasis. I don't know. It's interesting because, and I gave this example earlier in the show, Bruce Parkhill was coaching a game at St. Joe's, and it was on Hawk Hill, and the guard Tony Ward was one of the guards. I think Paul Murphy was the other one, and Penn State's winning the game by a dozen, and Bruce starts yelling out. He says, hey, you guys got to get your heads together, get in the game, and he got teed, and he looked over, he goes, what did I get teed for? He says, you can't talk to us like that. And he says, I wasn't talking to you, I was talking to them.
Right,
and of course the official put his head down like, oh man. And sometimes that happens, and I think that sounds like that's what happened on Saturday.
Well, Sean said he thought he was directing or yelling at him, but he was sort of across the field at that point. So yeah, I think it was just pretty odd. I wonder if it was what kind of background it was.
Yeah, that's you know, like I said. That's the best story I have for is the Parkhill story, which what's he getting a T for?
He saw Murph Shapiro.
Oh, Murph. Oh, I was in the locker room getting ready to do the pregame show with him before the Atlantic 10 tournament championship game. And they handed him the card. And he looked at me. He says, boy, he says, Murph Shapiro's name better not be on this card. And he opened the card. I'm not going to get into the word he used. I do remember the card ended up on the floor, and I waited 2 minutes before I did the pregame show.
Well, the words he used were directed to Bertovich later.
Yes, yeah, they were. Yes, Murph made the cut.
Yeah, good stuff.
Neil, always a pleasure. Appreciate you a lot.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Have a good week. You've